come before your presence right now, Lord Jesus, and we just ask you to have your way here today. We know that your sweet spirit is the teacher, your Holy Spirit is the teacher. We ask you to pour yourself through Brother Rich and through everyone sitting around this table. Give us all ears to hear what your spirit would speak to us today, Father. And we'll be most careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, because you alone are worthy.
Yes.
And we just ask you that out there on the internet, anybody that hears this message, that it would just pierce right into their very heart of their being.
Yes.
That they would be transformed by the renewing of their mind. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Well, last week we've been talking about holiness, and then we talked about judgment for a little bit. And if we're talking about holiness, I think Lord wanted us to talk about the Holy Spirit. And not a lot of attention seems to be drawn. You hear a lot about the Son, you hear a lot about Jesus Christ, you hear a lot about the Father, but out of the Godhead, we hear a little bit less out of the about the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
They're just when we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what the question I have for you all is basically, we know who the Holy Spirit is, the Holy Ghost, but what role does Holy Spirit play in our life? What role does he play? Where do we acknowledge him, if we're even to acknowledge him? It's like a given, especially once you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, it's like a given that you have the Holy Spirit. But even if you haven't been baptized in the Spirit, everybody's been dealt a measure of faith. Well, guess what? There's two things. If you've been dealt a measure of faith, you have the Holy Spirit. If you're breathing, you have the Holy Spirit. So, I guess it's just a matter of activation, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, I just felt we needed to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit today. And, it seems like when I was a younger Christian, he would show up in a tangible way. I was not a crier. I probably couldn't tell you, but until I became a believer, I probably couldn't tell you the last time I cried. But then, the first 10, 15 years, it was so beautiful how the Lord would let you become aware of him, inside of you, to the point where I'd be driving down the street listening to a praise and worship song and not even singing, not even praising, and I'd start weeping. And it's interesting, and I don't know, everybody's different, so I'm not saying this is the case with everybody, but the case with me, once I got to a point where, I knew him all the time, doesn't mean that he doesn't affect me tangibly, but I don't need that tangible. I welcome it. I welcome it, but it's not something that I need to increase my faith, I guess. Does that make sense? Just before we get started, just a little discussion on the Holy Spirit, who he is to you, what role does he play in your life, and have you ever felt the Holy Spirit in a tangible way that you knew that you knew that you knew? That it was the Holy Spirit. And we don't go by feeling, but I think it's great to have both, where you actually know that something has, his presence come over you so heavily that maybe you don't weep, maybe you just like give up and just put your hands in the air and say, Lord, thank you for all that you're doing right now and have done and will be doing. So So I'm going to kind of open it up just to start off and see what you all are thinking, and we'll kind of go into a little study on it and see where God leads from there. But it's such an important topic. I mean, we don't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. You don't hear a lot of sermons about the Holy Spirit, no matter what group that you listen to, whether it's organized religion or non-denominational or whatever. It's just not much of a topic that's... We discuss Pentecost once in a while, mm-hmm. here and there, in a Bible study, but... So anyway, that's... I keep thinking of things, so I'll shut up now and you all can talk. Mm-hmm. Kathy, what do you think?
Whenever I get what I say is feeling the Holy Spirit, it always has to do with gratitude, joy, and the true contentment of knowing that God is in control and everything's good.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's what the Holy Spirit says to me at all times, in all places, in all circumstances.
And isn't it interesting that Jesus called him the Comforter?
Yes.
Everything you just described there, yes. was bringing comfort to you. Isn't that amazing? That's how much he loves us. That he wasn't going to leave us alone, but he was going to send the Comforter to comfort you.
And
wow.
I love
wow.
to find that spot and stay there. That's the way I like to live my life. But, you know, progress, not perfection.
There you go.
On this side.
Yep. What do you think?
Well... The first real experience that I had with the Holy Spirit has been a lasting experience.
Mm-hmm.
It has never went away. And, you know, when I first got saved at home, you know, we've all heard that story before. When I first got saved at home, hadn't been in the church since I was a kid, you know, more or less, other than at weddings. And, you know, I was in the bathroom and I was praying. And I was kind of complaining, and I was basically telling the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I don't feel much different than I did before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd already committed my life to him. But I was kind of grumbling and complaining. And all of a sudden it began to hit me how David praised the Lord in all the Psalms,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I began to start praising the Lord and saying, well, Lord, instead of sitting here complaining, I should be thanking you for all that you've done for me. And I began to praise the Lord. And I had a visitation of God when I was about, maybe about 14, 15 years old, where God showed me standing behind a pulpit in this vision seat. And I had said, you know, I basically had said to the Lord, Lord, I believe, but why can't I serve you? And he basically showed me standing behind a pulpit. And it was like he showed me all of the things that I was doing that he didn't like. I mean, it was like, he showed me everything I was doing that he didn't like. And that was why I couldn't serve him at that point, you know, because I hadn't given up those things, you know. And anyway, but fast forward 5 years down the road, 6 years down the road, I was 18, 19 years old, whatever it was. And, you know, I was in the bathroom, I was complaining, I'd been so miserable, I was about ready to shoot myself. That's how miserable I was before I gave my life to the Lord. And, you know, I start praising him. And this is what actually happened at that time. It felt like that the Lord put his hands around my head. You know, I don't know if he sent an angel. I don't know
mm-hmm.
if it was, I believe it was the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like he put his hands around my head. And, you know, the only way I can really describe this to you, and this, please don't misunderstand, I'm not trying to exalt myself in any way or anything, but it's like when you see the paintings and it shows Jesus or shows the saints or whatever, and they got this globe around their head.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. And especially when I start thinking of the Lord, it gets stronger and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I know that that's the Holy Spirit with me, you know. And I guess he's allowing the mind of Christ to encapsulate me at that time. But, you know, I've had a lot of experiences with the Holy Spirit, and, you know, what God has really dealt with me concerning the Holy Spirit, and I don't want to jump into your message because I don't know exactly what you're going to share. But when in Genesis, when man was created, he took the dust of the ground and he blew into him the breath of life. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the word spirit, a lot of times it's the word pneuma. It's a word for breath. Mm-hmm. And every man has that spirit. I mean, they're not aware of it, but they have it. Every man has that spirit. And I don't know if I should say a lot, because I don't really jump into your message here, but you know, if you go up into Ephesians, the 4th chapter, it explains it there.
Yeah, there's so much. Well, I mean, we could not even come close to covering this topic in
But as far as the Holy Spirit for me, you know, I believe it was sent to lead and guide us into all truth. And it's that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and it dwells in you. It'll quicken your mortal body.
Sure.
And it does quicken us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to realize that in our flesh and its own being, there's no good thing other than the Spirit of God inside of us. You know, our fleshly, fleshly. And the flesh is not the eternal thing that's in us. The eternal thing is the presence of God, the Spirit of God. And, you know, what that Spirit came to do too was to unite itself to our soul. And our soul is made up of our mind, will, intellect, and emotions. And that's the thing that we need to ask God to help us bring into subjection to the Spirit of God that's inside of us. And when we do that, there's a union that takes place, and that union can bring forth nothing but the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yep, that's
now,
good.
I'm sorry, I appreciate a little short sermon
that's
there.
Right.
I didn't mean to do that, but that's how I have to explain it for me. I feel that any time that I really start thinking about the Lord, I feel that presence, and it stays with me almost all the time, you know. And, you know, it doesn't go away. I mean, it just stays there, and it increases the more that I begin to think on Him, you know.
Yeah, in most of the King James, it's Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
But Spirit and Ghost are synonymous, you know, in the Bible. Whether you call Him the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, doesn't matter. But
a lot of people are always trying to separate their spirit from God's spirit. You know what I mean?
And there's one spirit.
There's only one spirit, according to Ephesians, if you believe what Ephesians says. And that oneness is where He wants to bring us into that unity of the faith, you know. And boy, when we come into that total unity of the faith, there's going to be nothing withheld then. It's going to be His presence so magnified in our life that when people see us, they see Jesus. You know what I mean? That's what I'm out to, because that same Spirit, you know.
But, because that's reality.
Yeah, it is. That's the reality of God when it breaks forth. And it hasn't totally broke forth in us, because sometimes we tend to revert back and go in and out, like it says in Revelations, you know. But,
okay.
Rich, when you asked the question, the first question, who is the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading John 14 there.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly who He is. And to me, He's the one who sets me free.
Mm-hmm.
Because I look at the Holy Spirit as you know, like you say, they call Him Comforter, but I look at Him as the guide.
Yep. He will guide you into all
truth. He's the one who,
and Jesus is the truth,
keeps me on the path.
Yep.
And that's what the Holy Spirit means to me. He's the guide.
Yep. It goes all the way back, like Oscar said, to Genesis. But I'm going to just kind of bring, because you could, this is a topic you could spend a year on, seriously. But I just want to kind of highlight a few things, like in Luke 3, where John the Baptist said, He will baptize you into the Spirit of holiness. Remember, we were talking about holiness. You guys might not have been here, but we've been talking about holiness. And so back to what
his raging fire.
Yeah, back to what Mike was saying, that he guides us into that spirit of holiness, which is a capital S, which is the Holy Spirit. And into his raging fire. Okay. But it's a good thing. I keep trying to say that whenever you hear of God as a consuming fire, that is a good thing. It depends on where your attitude is. If you want to go kicking and screaming, then guess what? He'll let you. It's the easy way or the hard way, you know. I can remember when I was a kid, my dad would make me sit in the bedroom before he paddled me, and I'd have to think about it. And then I'd hear that door turn and terror hit me, you know. And then, but my mom would just, she'd like in the store, if I was acting up, she'd just smack me on the butt, you know. You ever see kids where they grab them by the arm and they arch their back so that they think, oh, she can't hit me here. But, you know, I don't even know what I was saying, but something to the effect that the hard way is just go ahead and fight him, you know. Try to put your hand back there and let him whack your hand, you know, or the easy way is just take your licks and go on. And so, thank God it's not, neither one of them was done out of anger or wanting to hurt you. Every one of it's done out of love. So, okay, so I love this. He has his hands. In his hands, a winnowing fork to clean up his threshing floor. Where's the threshing floor?
You are.
So he, it's his hands doing it. You don't, it doesn't say the devil's doing it, mm-hmm. Right? It's God, is the devil's been defeated, so that's why we don't talk about him around here. You don't talk about something that's defeated. You talk about something that's alive. And God is alive, and he's doing the work in us to bring us to that state of completion or whatever. Where he began the work, he's going to complete the work.
Can I say something about what you said about the winnowing fork? You know, the temple was built on Orman's threshing floor in the Old Testament. And the way that they threshed the wheat, what they did to it a lot of times, and I think you all could really relate to this, and we all could relate to this, is a lot of times they would bring animals with carts and everything else and roll them around all over the threshing floor to break the chaff off. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we think, you know, that we have places in our life that really need to be dealt with by God. And guess what he uses to deal with them sometimes? Sometimes that animalistic nature that's still in us. He lets it walk all around, all over that stuff. And then he took the winnowing fork and he would toss it up into the air. And the wind would blow. And the wind would separate the wheat from the chaff. Well, we know the wind is a type of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's the only one that can ever separate the chaff in our lives. And I still remember the first time I ever, one of the first sermons I ever had heard Brother Eddie preach, because I was a young Christian and I kept thinking, Lord, why can't I get rid of this in my life or that in my, you know, things that I felt like were weaknesses. And Brother Eddie preached about the necessity of the chaff, that the chaff is there until the wheat is grown to full maturity. Mm. Then it's to be separated. Mm-hmm. And as God brings inside of us the maturity of his spirit, then he'll begin to break off the chaff. And sometimes we think, well, Lord, why in the world is this stuff still happening? Mm-hmm. That stuff or whatever it is, you know. But then he begins to let the spirit of his spirit blow through your life, mm-hmm. in the sense of doing that separation, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need that separation. But it's God who still does the separating. He holds the winnowing fork, and he also causes the wind to blow, you know. Of course, if we could change ourselves, we sure would do it, you know. And
He will separate the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah.
And back a few weeks ago, but you guys weren't here, we were talking about the goats and the sheep and how people, many, many people misinterpret that scripture about the goats and the sheep. But the goats and the sheep are here too. It's just another interpretation of the wheat and the chaff.
It's not separate. It's one.
Yeah.
We're all one.
We all have wheat. We all have chaff until we come to that
point
of perfection, and then that there's no more chaff and no more goats.
That's one thing that the Holy Spirit really, when I feel Him dealing with me, is to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
This is not.
Mm-hmm.
This is good. That's bad.
Wheat's
this.
Right.
Jeff is that. It's not. And especially when dealing with other people, to recognize who they are, even though they don't.
Yeah.
And to deal with them as though that we are one. As
mm-hmm.
to deal with them as my brother, as my sister.
Well, that goes back to me. It goes back to the very beginning when you asked the other question, was have you ever felt it in a tangible way? We feel Him in a tangible way every day.
Mm-hmm.
We may not realize it,
recognize.
But in decisions that we make,
mm-hmm.
in the way we treat people,
mm-hmm.
in ways that our own actions for ourselves, that's where we feel Him in a tangible way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not just getting slain in the spirit, and it's not just goosebumps, and it's not just crying. That's what I was trying to bring out, that as you mature in Him, you sense it 24/7.
Yeah, it's an everyday thing, Rich.
Yeah.
It's an everyday, every minute, every hour thing.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I'd hate to say it this way, but we take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, being believers and believing that God's in control and that He loves us with everything, you know, we take it for granted that He might actually be doing something every minute and every day. We assume it, and then, you know, if it doesn't come out the way we want, then we get mad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he's constantly working on us.
Right.
It always comes out the way He wants.
Yeah.
So the wheat he will gather in the barn, but He will burn the chaff in a fire. It's so neat because the fire is like, we're like that burning bush. It's not going to consume us. It's just going to take the stuff out that needs out. The stuff that needs to be taken out, it's going to take it out. And, you know, and only God, it says no one can ever put it out. Why would we want to? Because if we put it out, then we stopped. We're stagnant at that point. We're not growing, and we're not becoming what He wants us to become. So He doesn't allow anybody to put it out. When things get hot, seven times of the furnace, it's for your good. It's got, you know, just like when my dad used to spank me. This is for you, not for me. I said, you get a little joy out of this, though. No. I was a pistol when I was
younger. Yeah, they have a tendency to say, this hurts me more
than
it does you.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, it hurts pretty bad. Tell me what you think.
They love us, that's for sure.
That's for sure. Oh, I had the best parents, man. I'm telling you, I wouldn't change a thing. My parents were like, they weren't touchy-feely. My mom was a little bit, but I mean, they didn't tell me every day, I love you, I love you, I love you. They just showed me. I mean, it wasn't until I was an adult that my dad, I don't think ever said, I love you. Now, maybe that towards the end he did, but he just showed me. I mean, I knew I was loved. But he was growing up in that age, you know, mm-hmm. after the Depression, where man should be a man and no touchy-feely and all that. And but I tell you, there's no way anybody, any of my friends, anybody that came around them didn't love them, and they loved them, even though they didn't come out and say, oh, I love you, I love you. Some parents would say, oh, I love you, I love you. You know, it's So showing, I think, a lot of times is better than saying. But anyway, it's the same with our testimony and our, when we go and talk about the Lord and all that. It's better just let them see that God is in you and that God is working in you. John 14:26, but when the Father sends the Spirit of holiness, the one like me who sets you free. Boy, we want to be set free, don't we? The Aramaic is translated, the Redeemer from the curse. You know, when the Ark came up on Mount Ararat, that represented the curse had been reversed, but the Redeemer from the curse had not actually shown up. And thank God he redeemed us from the curse. He will teach you all things in my name. Jesus is talking here, of course. And he will inspire you to remember every word that I've told you. Think about that. Every word. They said there's not volumes that could contain every word that Jesus spoke. And he's still speaking. That's the good news. That the volumes get bigger and bigger and bigger because it didn't stop at Revelation, 21 chapters in Revelation?
22.
It didn't stop there. It continued on past that. Mm-hmm. And the Bible's great, and I love reading it. And you can see I can't teach without it, but... Man, he's speaking now, and it says we're going to remember every word that Jesus said.
And the interesting thing about that is remember doesn't really just mean recall. Mm-hmm. It means
right.
It becomes.
Put it together.
It becomes who you are. It's put back together.
Yeah, means you were here in a certain state. And then you got out of that state, and then
now he's
remembering you only with a different mindset. Mm-hmm. I don't know what our mindset was before we were born to our mom and dad. I don't know what we were thinking. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we did. The Bible doesn't say, you know, but we were doing something. We existed in him before the foundations of the worlds were created, so... That'll be an interesting thing when we get that revelation of who we were before we are now. You know, that's going to be an interesting
thing. And he'll wipe away every tear.
Pardon?
He'll wipe away every misunderstanding.
Oh.
Every, you know, we'll understand it all.
Yeah.
Because now we take by faith, we feel the comfort.
Yeah.
From the Comforter, that it is all okay. But we will know then.
We will know.
You know,
that's what you're known.
What happened in Genesis is when man sinned, or whatever you want to call it, it says, you know, he was told by Satan at that point back then that his eyes would be opened. And really his eyes were opened, but they were opened to the sensual realm. And they were closed to the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's why, you know, we have that dual nature in us, because we have those ten senses. You know, we have five spiritual senses and five natural senses. And the trouble with us now is that we tend to listen to the five natural senses sometimes way more than we do the five spiritual senses. And that's where we get in trouble, you know, because we go in the wrong direction of really moving and flowing with the Holy Spirit, you know, at times. But, you know, when we come to realize that what he's really doing is that Holy Spirit is that oil that's been poured into us, it's poured in us, it's in there, it's made alive, just like it says, you know, how beautiful it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil poured over the head, down over the beard. Well, what's it talking about? The beard, what's it talking about? It's talking about maturity. Down over the garments, down all the way to the feet. Oh my God, that's when that total revelation of God comes. And man, what a beautiful, beautiful thing that is. That's the priesthood. That's the the power to release and the power to create and do all the other things that God wants done, you know, through us, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, but, you know, it's a beautiful thing when you think about it as,
mm-hmm.
as he unveils himself to us
mm-hmm.
more and more all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all know what happened on the day of Pentecost. This is just kind of a different look at the same thing that that we've been taught over the years, but it says on the day of Pentecost, on the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. Well, you can kind of visualize that, can't you? You know, I think God just allowed that to happen exactly the way it happened, just to give a visualization of a spiritual thing going on. Sometimes our old mind needs to see it, you know, see it to believe it, but at least in the beginning of our walk, you know. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. I mean, think about that. If a wind started coming in here, we got the door shut, we got the windows shut, that's going to freak some people out. I mean, think about that. If it was more than anyone could bear, that's some serious wind going on. Then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And that's so cool. And we know this was representation. These were all Jews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say that probably out of the 120 or so that was there, they were probably all Jews, or at least most of them were. So they understood what the pillar of fire represented. So the pillar of fire was the pillar of fire that led the Israelites into the promised land, from bondage to the promised land. The same pillar of fire manifested here to initiate a new beginning from dead religious structures into the powerful life of the Spirit. Each believed that they'd just basically taken them out of the religion that the Jews had at the day, and taken them out of that and bringing them into this life of freedom, not a life of bondage to, well, we got to clean these animals up, then we got to sacrifice them, then we got to drip this blood over the mercy seat, and, you know, just doing. It was, wow, we're free. And so it says here that each believer received an overpowering flame of fire, signified by the shaft of light that engulfed them. It was as though each one received his own personal pillar of fire that would empower him and lead him throughout his life.
That sounds almost exactly like Oscar was describing.
Yeah, I mean,
when the Holy Spirit.
That's for us too. It wasn't just for those that were in the upper room. It's for everyone. Everyone has access to that pillar of fire, and you know, it warmed the Israelites in the wilderness when it was cooler, you know, and even though it was a desert type setting, and at nighttime it would get chilly. So that God's warmness comes to us, and we feel his warmness, and then we extend that warmness to others.
You know, it's interesting when you look at the book of Acts, there was 120 in the upper room and they were all in one accord, you know. And it's funny that they even use the word chord. Chord is a musical, a musical instrument.
And it's also
a chord
of road.
When you play chords, if you know how to play chords, you can play any song. As long as you know what the chords are. You don't even have to be able to read music. A lot of those musicians out there don't know how to read music. That's why when Tam A was here, he would give them sheets with the chords on it. of each music, of each song they were going to play. Well, all they had to do, you know, chords are just something that you memorize, like if you're playing a guitar or whatever it is, all they had to do was just play the chords. And when they were in one accord, that meant that they were in harmony, they were in melody, they were one with God. And there was 120 of them, and then that presence came, you know, and that tremendous mm-hmm. presence. But if you go back into the Old Testament, see, and they were Jews, so they knew the Old Testament. You go back into the Old Testament, when Solomon built the temple, there was, he had 120 trumpeters back there. And they blew, the 120 trumpeters blew their trumpets. And when they blew their trumpets, the presence of God came down on that temple, and they couldn't even stand because the glory was so tremendous. So really, all God was doing with them to a certain extent, he was showing them the true experience of what that was a type of back then, you know what I mean? And isn't it nice how God always confirms mm-hmm. his word? Even in the Old Testament, he confirmed that word on the day of Pentecost. And what does the word Pentecost mean? It means 50, you know. And we know that we know about the year of Jubilee. What happened in the year of Jubilee? When you had the year of Jubilee, all the captives were set free.
All the debts canceled.
All the debts canceled, everything. I mean, just think of how perfect God's word is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just blows me away sometimes.
No,
I think, God, you had this all figured out from the beginning to the end. Because you watch some of these Bible shows on TV, and they'll say, well, the Bible's incomplete, and some of the records. Let me tell you what, God has there exactly what he wants to be there. The stuff that he wants there is the stuff that we were supposed to get. Now, you know, all of this other stuff that was pushed to the wayside, it wasn't supposed to be there. Not for us, you know, because we all, scripture were given for doctrine, for reproof, to thoroughly furnish you. And I believe that that's exactly what he did with us, to thoroughly furnish us, you know. But, wow, it's just something when you think about all of how precise God's word is. It's just amazing. It amazes me anyway. I don't know if it does everybody else, but it does me.
Me too.
You know, blows me away.
Then it says, all at once a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. So why do you think it was tongues of fire? Just like,
talking.
I think,
talking?
Yeah, just like,
tongue?
Just like when Isaiah had the coals on his mm-hmm. lips. Mm-hmm. You know, purified our mm-hmm. speech, or purified. But it's interesting that it was separated tongues. You think of a snake with a separated tongue, or you think of, you know. So, whatever it is, the fire is burning all that out that needs to be burned out for sure. So, they were filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues. Empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never learned. Interesting. It's not just speaking in your prayer language. You know, you remember Peter went out there a little bit after this and started speaking, and there were people from all dialects, all languages, all everything that would have never understood him in his regular voice, but they all heard him because that fire had come in and brought about a supernatural, miraculous
right.
tongue that everybody could hear. What about before the Tower of Babel, before mm-hmm. he scattered the people? They all could understand one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so in this situation, they all understood Peter because he had that gift of tongues, that he gave the people the gift of ears so that they could hear what he was saying. I mean, he could speak, but if no one was listening, you know, it would have those words would have fell to the ground. So God supernaturally touched everybody's ears that were sitting there or standing there listening to what Peter had to say, because they all heard him. Every one of them heard him. What's that? That thing burning up or something?
Oh, no. It's weird.
Just unplug it. Okay, so anyway, they were all filled and equipped. I love that. Because you hear a lot about filled with the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't just being filled. Now he's equipped you to what?
Go out.
Yeah, why else would he equip you? I mean, sure, he could equip you to be able to deal with the stuff that's going on in your life, and he did.
Well, why would he give it to you if you're not going to use it?
Yep. Empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never learned. Just interesting. Mm-hmm. The day of Pentecost was wow. Mm-hmm. And the thing I keep going back to, guys, is God hasn't stopped doing the miraculous.
No, yeah.
I think the church as a whole has just gotten comfortable with whatever they're doing in their little cliques or bodies or whatever. And I just think we're living way beyond, way beneath what we could live in the spirit realm. I mean, if they did it back then 2,000 plus years ago, it's kind of, I don't know. Maybe I'm just wishful thinking, but I think we're coming into a time when God's going to start moving in a miraculous way, more so than he ever has before.
You mentioned Isaiah back there, and in the book of Isaiah, when in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And Uzziah, the reason Uzziah had to die was because Uzziah tried to do things in his own strength. And he tried to go in before the Lord and offer incense and all that kind of stuff. Well, back then, he wasn't called to do that, King Uzziah. And if you go back and read about Uzziah's life, it tells you that when he sought the counsel of his mother and of the priest, he was marvelously helped. Well, it said, and then he became strong. Well, when he became strong, he started creating weapons of war and all this kind of stuff. And then he tried to go in and offer incense before the Lord and do the
religious thing
of the priest, which he was not called to do that. And he was smitten with leprosy in his forehead, which basically your mind, because he was trying to do this stuff in his own strength. Well, so what did he say? God had a revelation of Isaiah where he basically showed him. He said, woe is me, for I'm undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips. In other words, the things I say are not things that God would have me say. And he said, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And then that was when the seraphim took the coals off of the altar and touched it to his lips. Well, after that experience, the fire of God coming more into his life and even into his speech, then all of a sudden, the Lord says, who shall I send? And what does he say? Send thou me, Lord. Send thou me, Lord.
He had an attitude. Well,
He's ready to go, whatever God wants him to do at that point. And sometimes that's what we have to wait for. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do anything that you feel like God wants you to do. I think you should. But don't try to get out in front of God, because there's so many cults and everything else out there that tries to jump out in front of God, and they make an absolute mess of it. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Do what God tells you to do today. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in a day of provocation. Do it each and every day. And if you open your heart each day and say, Lord, what would you have me do today? And do whatever he tells you to do. If it's nothing, don't do nothing. But that we make this thing more complicated than it is sometimes, I believe. I mean, I believe it's very simple. If we just follow leading the Holy Spirit on each and every day, what God asks you to do or speaks to your heart about doing, you'll be fine. You'll fulfill His will for that day, and you'll be fine, you know.
Amen. Kathy, you want to pray?
Oh, Father, we have so much praise, so much gratitude to You for this life that You have given and are continuing to give and to make known to us, that wonderful plan that You have for our lives. We exalt You. We love You. We want what You want, O Heavenly Father. Bless us as we go into the regular service. Bless all who hear, and help us to understand. Give us that gift of hearing, Father, on that day of Pentecost, as much as You gave the gift of tongues, give us the gift of hearing, Lord, that we may hear, that we may understand.
Amen.
That You and You alone are God and
yes.
are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name.